This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
And a good evening to you for Wednesday, September 19, 2012. My name is Dr. Douglas Kelly. Welcome to Metaphysical Universe. I'm here, of course, with Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Good evening, Doug. Good evening, listeners, and anyone in the future archives. We are here celebrating our version of the equinox tonight, 2 days hence. So we're doing our early Wednesday night version. Looking forward to it.
Yep, and we'll get to that in just a minute. We also are going to be talking about evolving past intolerance after we do our ceremony. The Metaphysical Universe, this show, that is a weekly service and educational program of the Metaphysical Church of Humanistic Science. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit, as well as to explore science and spirituality. In addition to this weekly radio program, MCHS Church also operates the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science, a metaphysics school offering bachelor's, master's, and doctoral degrees in metaphysics with a number of different specializations available, including spiritual counseling and holistic healing and paranormal science and quite a few more. For more information on the school, please visit metaphysicsinstitute.org. As I mentioned, tonight is a special night. The equinox is going to happen here on Saturday, September 22nd, and since this is the closest show to it, before it, we're going to do our rite of equinoctial equilibrium tonight. We do this twice a year on the equinoxes, and we have a slightly different ceremony that we do on the solstices, so we'll get to that in a moment. We certainly welcome all of our live listeners to the program, as well as those listening to the archive. Glad you could join us. If you like what you hear on these programs, please spread the word and let others know. We will not take call-ins for the first part, that is the ceremony part, but when we get to the second part of the show on evolving past intolerance, we certainly welcome your calls then, and I'll announce that at that time too. Of course, if you're listening live, you can certainly make statements or ask questions in the chat room. That's cool too. Before we get into the ceremony and some of the discussion involving that, let's first do our profession of beliefs, something we've begun to do every episode. The spiritual philosophy of MCHS Church is based upon 9 principles of belief. These principles of belief are, number 1, as sentient and evolving human beings, we not only believe in practicing and living by the principle do no harm, but also in the principle of do right, thus enhancing the vibrational level of humanity. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately triumph in the face of any dilemma. The answers we seek already exist within us. Number 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems, and believe the roots of those solutions lie in exploring, understanding, and empowering the human condition. Number 4, we embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender, or gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. Number 5, rather than a supreme being, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. Number 6, we believe the nature of a human being encompasses both a physical and spiritual aspect, and that human consciousness survives the death of the physical body in a coherent fashion. Thus, death opens a new chapter of life and conducts the individual into a higher state of existence. Number 7, we believe in self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will, and that these 3 synergistically create the goal of self-completeness. Number 8, we believe in the value of practical education in metaphysics, metapsychology, and life skills as a means of empowering the human spirit and enhancing the human condition. We maintain an open but grounded mind to potential realities as yet undescribed by science. And number 9, we believe that discovering the true nature of consciousness and human existentialism will ultimately have a positive impact on human evolution and peaceful coexistence. For more information on these principles of belief, please visit mchschurch.org. All right, so tonight is a special night. We do our rite of equinoctial equilibrium. And so before we do that, we want to talk a little bit about what this means, why we do this, what the point of it is. The equinox is something that happens twice a year, and it is the time when the day and the night are both of equal length. And so if you can visualize the sun shining on the earth, and you have the area of daytime, and then you have the area of nighttime, and that line that separates the two is called the terminator. And so when you have the equinox, you've got the earth is, you know, half of it, exactly half of it is daytime, and the other half is nighttime. So that's what the equinox actually is. It's equinox actually means equal night, equa meaning equal, and nox meaning night. So it means equal night. So that's kind of where it comes from, the term, and it's a scientific thing. As far as the rite of equinoctial equilibrium, that's something, this ceremony that we do, as a way of remembrance or reminding ourselves. So that's what we're going to talk about for a few minutes before we actually do the ceremony. In the meantime, if you've got a candle handy, why not grab it? Because there'll be a point when we light the candle as in a symbolic way. So grab that if you got it. But as far as the ceremony itself, it's designed to just take a moment and realign, recenter, project positive energy, positive intent out into the universe. And that's what we want to talk about. So how are you doing? And that's directed toward the listeners. How are you doing? How's it been over the last 3 months or 6 months? What kind of progress have you made? Those are some of the questions that we ask to kind of take a moment and reflect on where we've been and where we're going. And Vicki, if you've got any comments, you're more than welcome to jump in at any point.
I just want to
make sure you're still there. She's split.
When you say, you know, how are you doing, I almost spoke up there and said, geez, I thought we covered this today already, Doug. But, this is a fantastic time of year. We're in the Northern Hemisphere. We want to make sure that we include everyone who lives all over the globe. We are, we live in such an amazing time where we can all connect together at precisely the same moment. But each of our experiences, of course, is very different. And I am now up in Western Canada and enjoying mountains and extraordinary colors just popping out everywhere for autumn. And it's just magnificent. You know, and there's such a wonder when we really take into account what the Earth is doing, how it's rotating, the universe. It's very extraordinary. And that's how I really check in with myself. So I would suggest to anybody, no matter where you are, just breathe the air, look at the colors, look at the trees, the grass, and just get your bearings that we are sentient beings on this planet sharing space. And, we celebrate that in a grounded and balanced way on a time such as this and as we come into the equinox. So that's my contribution to what you were talking about, Doug. I love this time of year. It actually is my favorite time of year. So you've got palm trees where you are, and I've got pine trees.
We got pine trees too. It's not like your pine trees. They're different.
That's
not the conical type, but those are some good points, and this really is something that we just need to take a moment and ponder, in terms of where are we at, how are we doing. You know, sometimes we get to the point where we take ourselves so seriously and we get so absorbed in the daily grind that we forget to live, really live. We lose sight of our goals, of our dreams, of things we want to accomplish. And this is a great time, as we do four times a year, to just reflect, remember, express gratitude. You know, times may be tough for you. They're tough for a lot of people, but they're also not tough for a lot of people. So it's not just bad news. I mean, we get inundated with bad news every day. You know, jobless rates gone up. You know, everything's worse, and it doesn't matter what decade we're in. There's always something, you know, there's always some bad news somewhere, and people begin to think, wow, things are really getting bad. Well, they're not. They kind of been the same, and it's been worse, I'll guarantee you that. I mean, just think back to the time, if you're old enough, think back to the time in the 60s when you were doing drills at school, getting under your desk just in case, you know, Russia or China decided to send a nuke over. You know, those were testy times. You know?
We did. Mm-hmm. We had to. It was our nuclear exercise, you know. And I mean, can you imagine terrorizing little 5, 6, 7-year-old kids? And you know, we had to do our, you know, salute the flag and sing the songs and the Lord's Prayer and all that stuff. And then this really huge bell went, and we all dive under our desks. And you know, really, we didn't really know what was going on, except that we were terrified,
yeah.
You know, and it didn't make any sense, but the terror of it all, and so, boy, I sure remember that as clear as day, Doug. You know, some of these things just stick with us, eh? They just impact our brain cells.
And, you know, I don't know how many of our listeners are old enough to remember that or even remember the Vietnam War. I mean, you had to at least have some age under your belt to really sense the times. I mean, I wasn't old enough during the 60s to really understand the Vietnam War, but I do remember Kennedy being shot. I remember watching the TV show, but I wasn't old enough to appreciate the depth or what it meant. I mean, think about that. I mean, think about during the early 70s. I think it was 74 when they were rationing gas and gas was running out. And I mean, there's always problems. So don't focus on the problems. Just understand that, in my opinion, I think we are getting better. I've said that before. At least the Cold War is pretty much over with. You know, we don't have to worry about so much about mutually assured destruction. You know, that is nuclear war between superpowers. You know, yeah, there's the terrorist thing. That's been going on for the last couple of decades anyway. And we'll talk more about that because that directly related to intolerance. So we'll talk about that a little bit later in the show. But this is a time to really appreciate what you do have. What you do have going for you, and the good things. Sure, we always might want more, we might need more, that's fine. We need to put out that deliberate intent to the universe, focus on what we want, not on what we don't have, and that way our inner reality will bring our outer reality in line with our inner reality. So our mind is...
Sorry, Doug. I think that what it is, if anything, if I sum it up in my view, I think a lot of people are feeling a greater division in the world. And what we need is a greater unification, and it begins with the self. And tonight is one of those kinds of nights where we can check in with ourselves for a moment and unify into one philosophy, one thought. And I know we're going to talk about tolerance later, but I just wanted to inject that where we see so much division is exactly what we can, you know, look at to see how we're all together. We're all the same. This is a balancing time. It's half light, half dark, and it's mm-hmm. all one planet rotating. So mm-hmm. this is, it's a special moment. If we just tune in, the universe is talking to us, mm-hmm. and we're all part of that universe, so we need to listen. Rather than division, it's unity.
Good. And so with that in mind, we'll go into our ceremony. And as we do, just take a moment, just before we even begin, just take a moment, take a deep breath, just breathe in deeply, hold on to it for a moment, release it slowly, and just settle, just relax. Think about some of these different things. This is a time of remembrance, a time of taking note of where we're at, where we're going, a time to not take ourselves too seriously, a time to be grateful for where we are and look forward to what we can achieve. So with those types of things in mind, let's begin our ceremony. With the lighting of the flame, we commence the rite of equinoctial equilibrium. We invite all those who are able to now join us in lighting the ceremonial flame.
Through the universe of which I'm a part, beats the energy of life and into my heart. A flame of fire lights up my soul, with will and desire for the world to know. The energy of life beats through my heart and through the universe of which I'm a part.
With the lighting of the flame, we symbolically transfer the fire of our spirit to a visual representation that we can see and feel. For in this way, we are reminded of the power of this fire, the power of our spirit, the fire of our passion to fulfill our unique and individual purpose, the passion of our spirit to do no harm and to do right, the never-ending light and warmth contained within us that honors the divine nature of all life and regards all sentient life as equal, having one common origin in the stuff of stars. We are one planet and one race with one ancestry and one destiny.
Connectedness.
The energy of our unfettered consciousness creates an expanded awareness of the profound connection that we have to one another, to all divine life, to Mother Earth, and to the universe. We pause in grateful acknowledgement of the universal consciousness that connects and unites us all. We take a moment of silence in honor, remembrance, and appreciation for the interdependent relationships we have with those closest to us and with all living things.
Responsibility.
We are connected to all things, and yet we are one, and in each one of us lies the indomitable power of the human spirit to ultimately prevail in the face of any dilemma, to rise above any obstacle, to triumph over any challenge. We recognize the inherent responsibility we have as a race of adept beings to resolve the challenges before us and acknowledge that this is as it should be.
Self-completeness.
The flame before us is complete within itself. It needs no other spark to sustain it. We, too, are complete within ourselves and need no other spark to sustain us. The synergy of self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will creates self-completeness. We need nothing nor anyone outside ourselves, for the answers we seek already exist within us. Our flame is within. We look there.
Equilibrium.
This is the time of year that the day and the night are in balance. They are equal. It is in this equilibrium that we seek to reconcile the things unequal, to recalibrate the things unbalanced, to recenter our consciousness and awareness, to realign our thoughts with the fulfillment of our individual and unique purpose. We draw from the cycles, phases, and rhythms of the universe that continue in perfect harmony from time immemorial. We attune the cycles, phases, and rhythms inherent in our own inner universe that they may serve our highest good and that we may serve others for their highest good in the spirit of do no harm and do right. So the day, so the night, so the universe, so our life. Equilibrium is renewed.
Positive consciousness.
In our innermost thoughts, in our heart of hearts, we strive toward positive consciousness, harboring ill will toward no form of life. So the energy within, so the energy without. So the one, so the many. We possess conscious awareness of the universal mind, the universal consciousness, the interconnectedness of all who are. Thus, synergy is created. We pause for a moment to send out positive energy to those in need. We recognize the power of gratitude and deliberate intent For like attracts like, and the like that we positively intend is the like that we invite and the sum that we receive. We pause for a moment of silence to calibrate our intent, to send positive and deliberate intent out into the universe in harmony with our own unique purpose, so that it may return to us in due time. As the fire of the flame burns before us, so too burns the flame of our passion for doing right, and the fire in our soul to immerse all that is in the light of our positive intent and universal consciousness. May the fire of our essence burn brightly to the higher good of all who are.
The fires for life burn deeply within, joined with the universe. Creations begin, brightly shining, new thoughts akin, and so it is, the light within, and so it is.
With the quenching of the flame, we affirm the transference of its light, warmth, and energy to empower the spirit within us as a beacon of light shining brightly upon the world in the strength of do no harm and do right. We make it so, and so it is. The flame is transferred. This completes the rite of equinoctial equilibrium. We thank you for joining us in this ceremony. Please join us for our next ceremony here on or around December 21st for the, winter solstice.
For the end of the world.
Yeah, for the end of the world. Forgot about that one. Maybe we'll get that in just before we all die
sure.
There. But it's good to have you join us in this. And just, you know, look at this ceremony, this rite of equinoctial equilibrium, for what it is. It's a time to remember. It's a time to stop, take a breath, and think about where you're at, and reaffirm your goals, your ambitions, to reaffirm your purpose for life. And if you don't know what your purpose for life is, then just keep listening to future episodes. We'll discuss it again, or you can look in the archives. We've talked about it. But we've got that. Again, it's just one of those things you need to talk about from time to time. So, anyway, thank you for your for tuning into this ceremony. That concludes it. So now we want to do is move on to our next topic, which is really in line with our ceremony, and that is evolving past intolerance. This is actually something that has been on my mind for the last, few weeks. But it's even become more on my mind in recent light of recent events. Perhaps some of you have heard about this movie, quote unquote, called The Innocence of Muslims. And by the way, if you've got any comments on any of our discussion from this point forward, you know, feel free to ask them in the chat room if you're listening live, or call us. The numbers are on your screen. You can certainly chime in and comment if you wish. But this quote-unquote film or movie, The Innocence of Muslims, which has sparked protests and demonstrations and several killings, including the ambassador to Libya, the U.S. ambassador to Libya, which might have also been just a terrorist attack, you know, under disguise, as some of the later reports are saying. But it still has sparked a lot of protests. And, you know, it's insanity is what it is. And so we want to talk about intolerance, and we'll get a little bit more, talk a little bit more about this film, not a lot, but a little bit more. But I would like to discuss, you know, what exactly is intolerance. Well, we all pretty much know what it means. I'm just going to give you the dictionary definition of it so we're kind of all on the same page. According to dictionary.com, it's a lack of toleration, unwillingness or refusal to tolerate or respect contrary opinions or beliefs, persons of different races or backgrounds, etc. That's really what we're talking about. Well, are there ways that we show intolerance every day? And if you really stop and think about that for a minute, there probably are. If you're driving down the road and, you know, road rage is kind of a bit of an intolerance type of thing, it can certainly be that. There might be acts of intolerance shown at work, with family members, with friends, whatever. The point is, we need to have a healthy view of tolerance and intolerance. It doesn't mean that you just tolerate anything. That's not healthy tolerance. And we also want to focus on just how wrong it is to have an intolerant attitude toward other people simply because of their beliefs or the color of their skin or sexual preference or anything. As we talked about, not only during this rite of equinoctial equilibrium, but also in the profession of beliefs here at the beginning of this program, we talked about the principle of belief number 4. We embrace the differences that make all human beings unique, recognizing that we all come from star material and are therefore equal, irrespective of heritage, beliefs, gender preference. One planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. That's where it all starts, folks. We all come from the same place. And if this is a new thought to you, this is not something, you know, we pulled out of the air or some other dark place. This is really scientific fact. We all came from star material, from stardust. The heavier elements in our body were all created by supernovae or a supernova. A star exploding, it creates the heavier elements, gold and iron and carbon and so forth. And it made it possible for us to even live, for anything on Earth to live. It made it possible for what we have. So we all come from the same place. And if you think about it in this context for a moment, here we are as life on this planet. We evolve, we grow. You know, there were different species of people, if you will. There were Cro-Magnons, there were Neanderthals. There were others that we may not even know about. There's some that we do. And then there's Homo sapiens, which is what we are. And so you got all these different types of life, primates and so forth, but especially sentient life, like humans and Neanderthals and Cro-Magnons and others. And they're all evolving. Well, here we are, Homo sapiens. We evolve, and we start trying to understand the universe around us. And when there's a bad lightning thunderstorm, we come up with some idea that the gods are not happy. And we just due to this ingrained or this inherent, I don't know what it is, inherent need to look outside of yourself for self-completeness, which I honestly believe is just a trait of a lower evolutionary stage, if you will. As we grow
separation.
And evolve.
Separation.
Well, it is. We
separation. Yeah.
And as we grow,
separate from one another.
Go ahead.
No, that's all I had to say. We just separate from each other, Doug. That's it.
Well, and we do, and we don't realize that we're all connected. We're all part of the same stuff in more ways than one. And then you bring in the whole consciousness part of it, you know, and we're all dialed in to the universal consciousness. Some call it the Akashic Record. And so we've got all this going for us, and we create these ideas. Every single religion on this planet, every single machine, every single thing, all originated in the same place. They originated as a thought in somebody's mind. It doesn't matter what it is. It all came as a thought in somebody's mind. And then we have to put things into perspective. We all have our beliefs. We all have our likes or dislikes, our tastes, and so forth. So tell me, whose belief is better than another? Really? I can show you adamant people who believe in Christianity, and we can obviously see adamant people who believe in Islam and Hinduism and Buddhism and all these others. We can show you, and every one of them will tell you, well, for the most part, that theirs is the only true way. Well, how do we know? You know, if you're an alien coming to this planet and you say, okay, I want to live like humans do. Okay, so what should I believe? Well, you've got all these things vying for your belief. So which one is it? You know, which religion is the, quote, true religion? Which God is the, quote, true God? You know, there's no answer to that. And, of course, that's going to fly in the face of all these different factions who are fighting. And so we have to look at this in a different way. We can't continue to kill each other on this planet. It just got to stop. And I'm not certainly not the first to say anything about it. My Lord, there have been people all through the ages who are trying to say the same thing. Stop killing. You know, respect other people's right to believe as they choose to. Now, Vicki, you and I were talking about one of my principles, one of my rules of thumb that I teach in the degree program. And
we got quite into quite a discussion about it, too.
Yeah.
So, you know, it's simple. If it's a preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle or law, you
policy.
Stand firm. But then who, and policy, well, who determines what's a principle? You know, I mean, a Christian believes that they're living life by a principle. You know, a Muslim believes that they're living life by a principle. And people are standing firm by a principle. So what is the definition then? And how do we each define for ourselves a matter of principle versus preference? You know, and it was a very interesting discussion we had today. And I think we were even, you looked up the definition of principle. Wasn't that right, Doug, today?
I'm looking it up again to share with
Because it's a really important point, you know, of... You know, you're talking a moment ago of what's tolerance. Well, tolerance and patience are sometimes confused. They're not the same. You know, I mean, people had told me for a long time, Vicki, you're so patient. And I said, I have no patience at all. I'm just tolerant. And then as I got older, I had less tolerance and I had to learn patience, you know. And so here we are. What's principle? Well, it's my preference that we all just like, cook supper together and sit down and eat and, you know, maybe play a game of cards. I think that's a preference. But if we have a principle of what everybody has to eat, well, okay, then it's a preference of whether or not we want to participate into cooking their dinner together. So everybody is provided for in a way that they believe is right for themselves. Now, that could be an allergy or that could be I don't eat meat. You know, I mean, it's so then how far do we go to what's a principle? So you can take it from there, Doug, because you
right,
had a
well,
pretty good definition of principle.
Well, let's talk about the dictionary definition of a principle. Basically, it's a fundamental, primary, or general law or truth from which others are derived. The principles of modern physics, for example, it's a fundamental doctrine or tenet. It can be a religious belief. It can be a personal or specific code of conduct, core value, that sort of thing. Well, the problem that we have with principles is that they can be conflicting. One culture's principles can conflict with another. One religion's principles will conflict with another religion's principles. And so when I have the rule of thumb, or when I state the rule of thumb, if it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's a matter of principle, policy, or law, stand firm. Now, if based on that, then we've got these different fighting religions saying, well, we're standing on principle. For example, the Muslims are protesting this movie, The Innocence of Muslims, and they feel that they've been offended. They feel that it's been, that their prophet Muhammad has been slighted. And honestly, if you've had a chance to watch this little film clip, I seriously doubt there's any kind of a full-length movie. It's a 14-minute clip. You can... Well, most of the world can view it on YouTube. Not all parts of the world can. But I watched it. It's ridiculously crude and stupid and corny. And my Lord, it looked like a bunch of five-year-olds made it.
I was going to say grade four.
Yeah, it's like, wow. And it just, it's beyond me how anyone can take offense to that, because it's so stupid, it speaks for itself. You know, it just speaks for itself. It's Blair's stupidity. And I'm talking about the whole film. Was it right to make a film that ridiculed other people's beliefs? Not really. You know, that's the point. We're talking about tolerance here, evolving past intolerance and embracing tolerance. So these Muslims that are protesting and killing people could say, well, we're standing firm for our principles. Well, maybe they feel that they are. And yet, on the other side of this coin, we're looking at the at this their actions and saying, what is this insanity? This is not principled. This is insane. This is absolutely insane. You kill people who are not even related to it, you know, who are not part of it, just because the film was made in America by an Egyptian Coptic who happens to live here. And so, okay, if you're abroad and you're American, you're guilty. Well, that makes no sense. There's no principle there. So what's the principle underlying healthy principles? It's not a hard thing. It's very simple. Do no harm. Do right. Do no harm. You know, now, if this filmmaker dude had considered that, he would have not made the movie. Do no harm. Okay?
It was a satire in poor taste. Very, very juvenile poor taste. But here's the thing. There's not a culture in history, I mean, who doesn't feel offended in some way, whether it's a takeover of a country, the takeover of a culture. I mean, this is the Dalai Lama's plight for Tibet. This is the American Indian's plight for North America. There is not a space on this planet that doesn't have people raising a flag, whether that's Israel. You know, we can just list them all. Mm-hmm. It does not mean that we can do harm to make a statement, because one harm does not negate another harm, no matter what way you look at it. So yeah. Doing the right thing is to understand that very simple notion that if you hurt my feelings, me to hurt your feelings is not going to make this right. If you hit me upside the head, well, you know what, I might fall down and I might just say, whoa, wait a second. But, you know, the first rule in self-defense is run. You know, I mean, I was taught that in martial arts. You know, if you're ever feeling antagonized, just leave. Just leave.
I know.
Leave
it. And that's the whole point. You know, in my opinion, this is simply my opinion, you know, what does it take for somebody to offend you? Now, yes, people can offend you, but really the taking of offense is, it's, I don't know, how do I put this so that I'm politically correct here? The more self-complete you are, the less likely you are to take offense at what people will say. I've been accused of everything, still am accused of everything, you know, scammer, charlatan, ass monkey, I've been disingenuous, all these different things, you know, that people have literally said about me for having the audacity to write a certified paranormal investigator course. That's all I did. I wrote this course. It's one of the best out there, if not the best. And I got all this ridicule, all these people who had not read a word of it. And so here I am, this bad dude, you know, just trying to rip people off. And I've, you know, never ripped people off in my life. And so it doesn't matter. You know, in the beginning, it really didn't even matter then. It just doesn't matter. Because what I've said so many times, what you think of me is none of my business. And I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Wayne Dyer said that. And it's an excellent quote. What you think of me is none of my business. Now, if the Muslims had embraced that concept, what you think of us is none of our business. We go on, we do our thing, we practice our faith, whatever, fine. You know, and the same can be said with Christians, fundamentalist Christians. And what we've got really is the extremists, the religious extremists are the problem. So at what point does the world stop tolerating intolerance? And that's what we need to do. We need to embrace tolerance. Look, if you don't agree with me, I don't care. I really don't care. I have too much work to do. I have too many positive things I'm doing. There's a lot of people who may not agree with me, who may not agree with the principles of belief. You know, when I say we don't believe in God, it really throws some people off kilter. That, well, what do you mean you don't believe in God? I don't believe in God. I don't need God. God, I outgrew God. Oh my God, that's blasphemy. And to them it is. And yet to me it's like, well, you know, you would too if you just open your eyes and look at everything. You realize that to try to try to hold the Bible to any kind of logic is impossible. And the fact that, you know, the existence of Jesus Christ, there's no secular evidence for that. Now, if I was to say that about Muhammad, I'd probably have a bunch of religious extremists here. And the only reason I don't have a bunch of Christian extremists here is because, well, you know, that was 400 or 500 years ago, that I would be dead. They wouldn't let me live for any of the stuff I'm doing. And so it just depends on where you live and what's going on. What I'm saying to Christians, to Muslims, to Hindus, to whoever, believe what you want. That's fine. You know, just do no harm. Do no harm. Do no harm. Believe what you will. Practice your faith. If you have a need to believe in God, fair enough. Do no harm. Don't ridicule other people. It's like this Terry Jones in Florida here, this another religious extremist, Christian this time, who's just had an arrest warrant sent out by Egypt, I believe, along with some other people. You know, of course, they'll never arrest him because he's in the United States. But the fact is that because, a couple of years ago he wanted to burn copies of the Quran and he made a big to-do out of it. You know, drama queen, yes. But is he doing harm? Yes. Would Jesus have done that? Come on. You know, love your neighbors yourself. Well, how is that loving your neighbors yourself? Even he is not practicing his own faith. So if you want to believe in all that stuff, fine. Just do no harm. That's the biggest thing here, folks. We're all the same. We're all trying to figure it out. We're all trying to do our best. And most people are like that. There's only a very few, small handful of these religious extremists that get all the attention. It's like the squeaky wheel gets the grease, right? Well, it's the noisy extremists that are getting all this attention that continue to instill fear in people, that continue to instill fear in the world. It's got to stop.
I think the one thing that we all have to recognize is that we have imposed our will that has brought harm enough. This is enough now. We are raising our consciousness. We are an evolving species. We have taken enough that belongs to somebody else. We have imposed our will on others who didn't want it. We have committed crimes upon humanity, animals, the earth. We've done enough. Like, that's enough now. Now, if we could just embrace the notion of do no harm, do right. What is the right thing? We can't change yesterday. But we can be accountable to it in this moment. We can accept responsibility for ourselves as evolving human beings to say, I screwed up yesterday. We all screwed up. So what's today? What are we going to do today? And move forward as one humanity. So to me, it's okay if you're, you know, if you have a preference for dinner, and if it's okay if you have, you know, that belief system, let's just not impose it that everybody has to eat that and everybody has to believe something else, and I get to take what's yours because I'm having a mood today and I think I deserve it. This righteousness has to stop, and the imposition to others has to stop. And it does. It's a very simple notion of do no harm, do right. So we're back to, you know, if it's a preference, yield. And if it's a matter of, you know, principle, policy, or law, then you stand firm. The principle, the policy, and the law is do no harm, do right. Doing the right thing. What is the right thing? You know, it's to promote life and a unification and to restore balance to the earth. You know, that's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to restore a healthy kind of balance within our families, within our communities, within our nations, if you will, and within one race of people, and be explorers. We are explorers of this universe. So, you know, we've come here with our own contributions to be improving explorers and to evolve our individual minds, that we are part of that collective mind. And it's not rocket science. You know, some people might say, well, that's a nice philosophy, you know, and they tell me, well, it's all nice in theory. Well, I don't know why it's so difficult to practice. It is what it is. It's not, the sky is not blue by that way and blue by this way. It's just blue. You know, mm-hmm. sometimes it's cloudy and sometimes it's gray. But the sky, by any other terminology that we can see, is a reflection of whatever is on Earth, and it looks blue. So we all live under that one sky. So, I mean, you know, we could have a really long discussion about this, but there's one, just a very, very simple point. We're in a time where the world seems to be dividing greater by economics, by policies, by this new world order, if you will, and by continents that just seem to be heavier on one side than the other by any number of things that we could look at. But the violence has to stop at some point, or, you know, we just all kill ourselves. It's ridiculous, because we all want the same thing. We all want love. We want to feel love, be love. You know, we want to extend love. And if we can remember that every child is born loving and trusting, and it's only the adults that get in the way of that, geez, we might actually think we're doing harm and we're not doing the right thing. It's easy to correct.
Yeah, just have that principle as your guiding principle, do no harm, do right. You know, and I've got to take my hat off to folks around about, because there are a lot of people who identify with this. They don't want this fighting, these terrorist acts and all that. Even people in the Middle East, there's a lot of them that want peace. They don't want to go out and kill other people. I mean, even after the ambassador to Libya was killed, there were people in the street with signs saying, hey, we're not all like that. Don't judge us all by the actions of a few here. And here, even in a recent story in Pakistan, there's they bunch of them were going to go protest over this ridiculous film. I can't even call it that. It's just a ridiculous piece of junk, and they were going to go protest. And one of the business owners did not want to, and told, we don't need to protest. And they wanted him to close his business and go protest with him, and he wouldn't. And so now they've got him up on charges of blasphemy because he wouldn't go protest. So you've got people who are trying to do the right thing, and it's like, you know what, if you're a witch, you'll float, and then we'll kill you. And if you're not a witch, you'll sink, and you'll drown anyway. So you're screwed, you know. But that's part of the evolution. We've got to stand for those principles. And that is a principle, do no harm. You know, here the business owner was trying to do no harm, because not most of them are not that way. It's just this relatively few religious extremists, and they don't have to be Muslim either. They're all sorts, mostly Muslim and Christians are the ones, you know, in the world today. But there are others. And we, you know, if this is reaching any of you, really think about what you're doing. You know, would your loving God want that for people? You know, I know from a Christian perspective that God wants everybody to worship him and get along and have a great life. Well, I'm sure that's got to be the same with Allah. I don't know anything about the Muslim religion, but it's got to be the same thing. Wants everybody to serve him, wants everybody to recognize him, and so forth. Well, you're not going to get people to do that by terrorist acts and killing each other. You know, show them why they should be a Muslim. Show them why they should have that faith, you know? Go ahead.
I was going to say, historically, it has been the few who have survived oppression that has promoted the change.
Yeah.
And this is really, really important for everybody to acknowledge. You know, even, you know, you talk about witches and what I do, burned at the stake. Look, there's hundreds and thousands of years of history about the oppression and genocide of anybody who would do what I do. But they survived. We survived. My ancestors survived. We did. And it's those few who survive and continue to promote change, continue to promote an evolution, which is why we can have this conversation today. And so even those who are feeling the oppression and the persecutions of doing the right thing, your voice is heard. It's heard on the earth, it's heard by others, and it's heard through the universe. I mean, I will not sell out.
Right.
I won't. It's been tried before, and I have been in the face of doing the right thing. You know, not that I necessarily like to tell these stories, but when I was a young girl and I was looking after a fellow's child for 3 days, he was out drunk and didn't show up, and I had to call welfare and surrender the child to his grandparents. He knocked on my door and put a .45 to my head and said, "Where's my child?" And I didn't bat an eyelash. I said, "Kill me if you will, but you're not getting your kid." Simple as that.
Yep.
You know, because it was doing the right thing. You know, look, this part of me says, boy, am I stupid? You know, am I stupid? Like, geez, I wasn't even drinking. You know, but it's the right thing. A child's welfare is at stake here, the life of this child. I directed him to the authorities. You know, but it's, I tell you, it's a moment where your heart stops and you check in really quickly about what you're going to do in that very moment. Are you going to stand up for what you know is the right thing? I'm not going to harm anybody. I just want it to be the right thing. But it's very difficult when somebody shows up and puts a gun to your head and you say, okay, let's talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I'm sure there are cases where I'm not going to talk about it.
Right.
The thing is, if he hesitates, he's not pulled the trigger, and it's that simple, and you have a moment to talk about it. So if he was intent on killing me, he would have pulled the trigger when he opened the door.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a logic that comes afterward, but it's an instinct in that moment of
mm-hmm.
doing the correct thing. There's people who pull children from burning buildings. You know, they, you know, find enormous strength and, you know, rescue people under cars, and because they're doing the right thing, they're motivated to do the right thing in that moment.
And most people want to do the right thing. They do.
Yes, they do. Yes, they do. And it has been those who stuck by their principles, even in the face of, look, I tell you something, everybody, if it weren't for the spirit of a people, there would not have been any survivors of the Holocaust.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so we live in continually changing times. Hopefully we evolve and learn some lessons. So that's a contribution.
Yeah. Let's talk about how you can show more tolerance every day, and let's also briefly talk about healthy tolerance in the few minutes remaining. Just everyday tolerance. Respect other people's right to believe as they will. Don't offer unsolicited advice to other adults. And that's a big thing, because when you offer advice, unsolicited advice to other adults, you're essentially trying to control them. You want them to do it your way. Stop offering unsolicited advice. Other ways you can show tolerance is on the roads, not getting overly aggravated at people and what they may or may not be doing on the road. Even if people are rude, again, what you think of me is none of my business. You know, if they're rude, it's their stuff, not your stuff. It's like, don't catch the ball. When we catch the ball, we react. When we react, we don't think. Instead, we want to respond. We want to think first. We don't want to catch the ball. When somebody does something to us, it's like they're tossing us a ball. It's instinctive to catch it. But we don't have to. We can let it bounce off. It's not going to hurt us. And so choose your battles, as they say. Respond, don't react. Let the ball bounce off. Don't take ownership of that ball when it's not your stuff. It's their stuff. So if it's just somebody having a bad day, take the high road. There's nothing wrong with that. Now, what about healthy tolerance? What if somebody's trying to harm you? What if somebody's broken your house and is trying to hurt you? Is it okay to defend yourself? Absolutely. Because if you think, well, you're doing harm to them, no, you're not. They are. They started it. They're going to get what they deserve because of responsibility, accountability. So if somebody's trying to harm you physically, it is absolutely perfectly fine to defend yourself in whatever means you need to do that. And so we have to really have a good, healthy outlook for this. Generally, when it doesn't matter, if it's a matter of preference, yield. If it's really somebody else's stuff, let it go. It's not worth fighting over. It's not worth robbing you of your own inner peace. Let it go. It doesn't matter. my Lord, pick something that matters, you know. If they are trying to harm you physically, there's no black and white answer here, but if there are other things that you just can't live with, then do what you must. If you need to leave a relationship because it's toxic, then fine, you do that. You know, if they are sad and they threaten to kill themselves, which can happen in many of these toxic, dysfunctional relationships, you know, call the authorities. Do them right, but don't take that guilt. Don't take ownership of that. So we've talked about tolerance. We've talked about intolerance. Tolerate things. You know, people don't have to believe like I do. I really don't care. I mean, I want the world to embrace these principles of belief because they're healthy, and it will result in a peaceful world if everybody would just apply them. But you know what? Not everybody's going to do that. Not everybody is going to see them as I do. A lot of people are going to ridicule me. Many of my old friends, I'm just an apostate. I've rejected God and all that other stuff. So they see me in that light. You know, other people are going to say, well, you don't believe in God, so, you know, I don't really like you or your church. Fine. You know, believe what you want. Just don't do any harm. That's really where it boils down to. And before you act, ask yourself, am I doing harm by this? Am I really hurting somebody without provocation or just being mean by doing this? Well, don't do it then. Do the right thing. Help people. Be a part of the solution, as they say, not a part of the problem. And it all stems from your own healthy self-concept. All of this does. Healthy self-esteem. You have the right to be who you are without judgment, provided you're not doing any harm, not killing people and so forth. You have the right to have all the good things in life, no more, no less than anyone else. You have the right to be you, and you're perfect the way you are. There's no one more perfect at being you than you are. So embrace these things. Remember, you know, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. We're all part of the same stuff. Let's make this world a better place. Let's be a force for good. Let's have a positive impact on all those we touch in our sphere of influence. And it's just much better that way.
You know, and if we ever do have those moments of being really upset or angry and having hateful thoughts towards someone else, ask yourself, what would gratify you? And really, you find out nothing would. Suffering does not gratify anyone. We just have to look deep within ourselves and know that we're the ones that need correcting in our own evolution. So, you know, what a great topic, Doug.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great topic, and it's been a great ceremony. And, you know, I appreciate our show very much. And I am so glad that so many more people are joining in. And please keep spreading the word, everyone, because that's why we're here. You know, we have good, healthy discussions. So thank you.
And yeah, thanks to everybody for joining us today on our ceremony night and also listening to our discussion on intolerance. Next week, we'll talk about how to raise yourself up by the bootstraps when you have no boots. Hopefully that'll be uplifting for people. And I've posted some more upcoming topics on the MCHSChurch.org website. Just look on their left navigation, you'll see Metaphysical Universe Radio, and you can see the archives there. You can see some upcoming topics. If you like this, please spread the word, tell others about MCHSChurch.org. If you would like to support MCHS Church, you can do that very easily by simply enrolling in a course at the Institute of Metaphysical Humanistic Science. It's metaphysicsinstitute.org. If you're looking for another career, a metaphysics career in spiritual counseling or life coaching or holistic healing or hypnosis or several others, you can find them there in the doctoral degree program. It's an excellent curriculum. It will get you thinking. It teaches everything we talk about on these programs, and it's changed many, many lives. So if you'd like to help support, you can certainly do that or take a course. There are some other courses there, including many courses, which start at $19. So thanks to Dr. John Hightower for helping us behind the scenes and being our call screener. That's all the time we got, folks. Have a great week. Good night.
Good night.